You know how I get. I tend towards the anxietal.
Anxietal? Is that even a word?
Now I've anxiety over whether or not anxietal is a word or not.
Let's find out.
I think it is.
Merriam-Webster.com. Not in the dictionary.
Really? It
Yeah.
should be in the dictionary. How
But
is that not a word?
not a word. Just gonna
Now that I'm going to add that though to the list of things that I need to change before I die.
try to get it into the Urban Dictionary somehow.
Yeah, that I also want to make. I want to get. I'm on Team Flutterby, like butterfly to Flutterby. Flutterby is such a better a butterfly. Okay,
Right.
whatever. But it should be called a Flutterby because that's exactly what it's doing, and it's a nicer. So I'm trying to get that
But
changed too.
butterfly is nice too.
It's not nice, but it's hardly descriptive.
That's
Flutterby
true.
is very descriptive.
Yeah, I guess.
This is where I'm going to spend some of my, golden years. I'm going to be fighting this fight
Yeah,
on Capitol Hill.
this seems like a good use of your time. Welcome to another episode of Low Rollers. I am Eric Raskin, joined as always by Jeff Edelstein. We are writers and editors for Casino Reports and InGame, among other fine websites. And this is, as someone painfully described it to me in our work Slack, my first podcast recording of my sixth decade. Jeff, you have a little sixth decade experience. Any words of wisdom for me?
Yeah, I don't like thinking of it in terms of sixth decade because that makes it
It's
sound very old,
It
very
sounds a
old.
lot worse than turning 50, doesn't it?
Yeah, I consider this stage of my life to be more like my late 40s.
Okay, all right. Your post 40s?
Well, not post,
Not
my late 40s.
right.
Like if numbering was different, if it went, 48, 49, 4010, 4011, 4012, 4013,
Sure,
I'd be in my
I guess
late
so.
40s.
Right.
So
I guess in sports terms, you're in overtime on your 40s.
I'm in overtime, extra innings perhaps of my
Yeah,
40s. That's
yeah.
a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So those are your words of wisdom. Try to think of myself as still in my 40s.
Late 40s.
Late, okay.
Late.
Right, but not as late as you.
No, you are earlier than me when it comes to your late lates. I'm
Okay.
actually nearing the my mid late 40s. So
I see some trauma
stay
ahead for
tuned.
you.
All right. Well, I'm old. We've determined that, and we're going to talk to someone who I don't think is nearly as old as us. Great dude, slots influencer, BetMGM ambassador, awesome interview, Brian Christopher. But before we get to that, Eric, as always, plenty of news to discuss.
Yeah, and our main news story this week combines a few stories looking at well-known pro athletes in trouble for gambling-related reasons. There are two main stories that we want to dig in on. One, Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase is now on paid leave as he's being investigated for seemingly the same thing as teammate Luis Ortiz. The social media sleuths have put together clips of Clase throwing some terrible pitches to start innings, and his first pitch numbers this year are dramatically different from past years. And this news breaks just a couple of days after a New Jersey legislator introduced a bill to ban micro betting. So lots for us to discuss there. But then there's the separate matter of NBA player Malik Beasley, who is being investigated related to suspicious betting. And journalist Pablo Torre recently did a whole deep dive podcast with Tom Haberstroh examining the evidence and kind of concluded there isn't any, just circumstantial stuff that, yes, Beasley was having big money problems. And also, someone on Twitter predicted a while ago that Beasley would be the next to go down. But it really shines a light on how we hear the words investigated for gambling and the world assumes guilty. Maybe so here, but also maybe not. Then two other lesser things. Gilbert Arenas arrested for running an illegal high-stakes poker game. He pleaded not guilty. And Marcus Morris arrested for a fraud charge related to a casino debt. I don't know if there's much to say about Arenas or Morris. But Jeff, I presume you at least have thoughts on the Class A situation and or the Beasley situation.
My first thought is I thought it was Clase, but so we'll go Clase. I have no idea. I mean, I saw the same clips that you saw. Those pitches were disastrous. I didn't see though that second part where they're different from his past years.
The number of first pitch balls, and particularly like way out of the strike zone balls,
Yeah.
it's someone did a whole compare contrast. It's pretty different.
Yeah, I mean that looks bad. I mean, especially considering his teammate is, in trouble for the same alleged crime. It's funny, you brought up the New Jersey legislature like trying to ban micro betting, which I don't think is going to gain any traction. But, taken together, it does shine a light on how easy it would be, and how not only how easy, but how seemingly it's one pitch in one game. I mean, man, if you were doing this with like, middle reliever who's only going to come in to pitch, in blowouts, like, I mean, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is these crimes, which would be crimes, and black marks, and you insert adjectives, or whatever, is bad, but they probably don't really affect the game. Right? I mean, you go back to point shaving, it's kind of the same thing, right? Like, it's bad, it's horrible, and like, I'm not for it, but like, does it necessarily change the outcomes of the game? Obviously, it can't happen. It shouldn't happen. I don't understand how it fucking happens in baseball. These guys, I mean, what are their salaries? I mean, over a million, I'm sure, right? I mean,
Yeah,
what are we
I
doing here?
just was listening to someone talking about this and saying Class A makes like 5.4 million a year, which
So
is
what?
not, he's not one of the highest paid guys in baseball, but shouldn't be easy to convince to do something for some bets for a few thousand bucks or
For a
whatever.
few $1,000s. I mean, seriously. I mean, for 5 point. Now, to be fair, if you offer me $5.4 million to do some very bad things, I would do them.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
But if you already had $5.4 million and then I offered you
Nothing.
a couple thousand to do some
Well, that's what
bad
I'm saying.
things,
No. Well, I was gonna say, if you offered me $100 to do some very bad things, I would call the authorities. So I don't understand. Like, I just the only thing that I. My only guess, and this is pure conjecture, don't sue, is that like these guys are in trouble like outside of the game, and like do it or else kind of thing,
That could be.
which is even makes it even worse. I mean, listen, gambling and fixing games and players involved in gambling, it's as old as time, I'm guessing, right? It's got to be. So it's not new. You hate seeing it in big time American sports. You expected more in like your, Czechoslovakian table tennis, which I will be mentioning later. But yeah, a little spoiler, or
Yeah, a
stay
little
tuned.
tease. Nice tease, yeah.
A little tease. But yeah, it's not good. It looks horrible. I'm hoping, every time something like this happens, I end up saying the same thing before we move on to the next topic, and it's this. Well, this will probably be the last time because players will have learned their lesson that you can't do this stuff, but famous last words.
As we've discussed, I still wonder how much of this stuff goes on that doesn't get caught, and how many of these things were happening in the past before regulation that certainly there was no
Right.
way of catching them. But then again, the micro betting thing is relatively new. I'm really stuck on what to do about micro betting. I wish it didn't exist. I think mostly only bad things can come of it, but it does
Can I tell you,
exist.
I have zero interest in it. I have no desire to place a micro bet ever.
Yeah, same here. There's not much fun to it. I mean, I think the last time this came up, we talked about how if we were actually at a game and there was no
Maybe,
lag, you may
right?
just want to try it. Could I try it for one batter of just like I'm going to put a dollar on each pitch one way or the other and see what happens and have some fun? Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I agree. It's nowhere close to the most exciting form of sports betting. And the fact, since it does exist now, banning it in New Jersey or other states won't stop it from being available on the black market where nobody can catch it. I do think there need to be modest limits on a bet on an individual pitch, but it seems there mostly are. But then
I
people
don't get.
can still maybe make bigger bets offshore. It's not an easy problem to solve. It's one of those things that
And
I.
well, it's not an easy problem to solve. I think a lot of it is because it's not an easy problem to understand. Like, why are these athletes allegedly doing it. Like,
Right.
what are they gaining from it? It seems like nothing. Like,
Right.
if I was making $5.5 million a year, my buddy's like, hey man, if you throw a few pitches this year, I can make it 20 grand. But like, tell you what, here's 20 fucking grand.
Right, leave me alone.
You know
And
what I mean?
right. Yeah, it really, you're right. It doesn't make sense, and it's just, I guess when you start doing it for significant amounts of money, it's just so easy to catch. If like I'm almost surprised that this wasn't flagged sooner, if indeed there were like
It
suddenly
happening.
$20,000 placed on him to throw a ball, why
Right.
that doesn't get flagged immediately. I don't know, but yeah, from what I saw of Class A, it's even worse than what we saw from
Yeah.
Ortiz, so I'm not too hesitant to deem him guilty based on just the evidence we've seen. Although, yeah, let's not get sued, I
Alleged,
guess,
alleged, yeah.
and say we don't know he's guilty. But the Beasley thing, and I admit I haven't done any kind of a deep dive of my own. I'm just going off what I heard Haberstroh say in another e interview. But Beasley, it sounds like there's a very good chance he did nothing wrong. There's some suspicion that someone in the Pistons organization may have ratted him out without evidence just to tank his value because he was about to sign a big new contract. Or that someone with another team wanted to tank his value so they could trade for him. I don't know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories here, but the big takeaway for me is that Beasley has pretty much been branded as a gambling cheat of some sort and may never be able to erase that, even if it proves to be totally untrue.
Yeah, I mean, the only th who announced that investigation?
Did the NBA announce it,
No,
I can't, or who
here, well,
reported
here,
it first? Go ahead. What were you gonna
well,
say?
it's the yeah. I wanted to, I don't recall, but like in my
Right.
experience in the Wild West world of journalism, police and or organizations are not releasing we're investigating someone unless they already know that they have
Right.
the goods, you know. So yeah, I'm curious to. I too much smoke, too much fire in that I've seen in my life to think that this is not that.
Yeah,
But
there may be a
who
lot more
knows?
to it that hasn't been released yet.
Right.
And in terms of like specific bets they still haven't reported details of any bets except the one that everybody bet like under 2.5 rebounds or
Which didn't
whatever it
pan
was,
out,
and he
right.
got like 6 rebounds. So
There was that one, you saw that one clip where like with the missed
where
free
he
throw and he goes
scores
coast to
with no
coast.
time left. Yeah,
Right.
but and I think they addressed that on the one podcast that I heard about it, that like, anyone who's below the superstar level is liable to want to pad their stats at the end of the game when they can get a free bucket
I
help
guess.
themselves out. Yeah. Again, it's like a lot of circumstantial stuff with him,
Right.
and it seems the main thing is he didn't have any money and may have owed money to a lot of people or something, which
Right.
makes everything suspicious. But yeah, we'll see where that one goes. But Class A, that one looking a lot more definitive, although
So,
again, we
would
don't
you
want to
even
pass
go as far
judgment.
to would you go as far to say it's Class A closed?
It is not, but I did notice earlier that as far as the pronunciation of Class A, you were kind of blasé about how to pronounce Class A.
I was a bit blase about it.
All right. There is one other story we need to talk about. Everything that's gone down the last few days with the nomination of Brian Quintenz to head the CFTC. I must admit, I'm scrambling a bit to catch up on this story, having been off work for my birthday while a lot of this was going down. But on Monday, for the second time, Quintenz was scheduled for the Senate committee hearing in which he was expected to get approved. And for a second time, his name got yanked from the schedule on short notice. There were all different possible reasons reported. Dustin Gawker obtained emails showing people had concerns over conflicts of interest or suitability. Others say the vote was delayed again because they don't have the votes. Others say the AGA is lobbying against him. And then there's a report that the Winklevoss twins spoke out against him directly to Trump. The White House reportedly says Quintenz is still their nominee. Can you make sense of any of this, Jeff?
Nope.
Thanks
Nobody
for
knows.
chiming in.
Well, nobody knows. I mean,
Right,
you know, I mean,
right.
I love the fact that the Winkle bosses are involved. Get me, you know, let's get what's his name? Who did the come on.
Army Hammer?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what was the new movie called? I can't remember the
The
name of the
Social
movie now.
Network?
Thank you. Yeah, let's get a sequel in the works. No, nobody knows what's going on here. It seems like something's going on because like it, this is seems like it should be a slam dunk yes because they have the votes.
Right.
So somebody doesn't want him there, clearly. Whether or not that's going to overrule whoever does want him there, like Trump, I don't know. That's to, to be determined. I don't know. I mean, really, I mean, do you know? Do you have an idea? I don't. There's no way I could suss this out.
No, I don't have a strong
This is pal.
suspicion
This is
at this
palace
point.
intrigue right here. This is what this is, right?
It is a sort of low stakes level of palace intrigue in
Well,
the
high
big in the
stakes
bigger
for,
picture. High stakes for
yeah.
the industry and for CFTC
Possibly,
and all
yeah.
that. But what difference is it going to, assuming that they eventually get someone, whether it's him or someone else in charge, I don't know that there's going to be a big difference in how they govern the CFTC. But yeah, someone must be feeling uneasy about him for some
For
reason.
some
And
reason, right? Because you would think that, like, the Winklevoss and, everybody outside of, like, the AGA, I think, would be thrilled to have Quintez because he seems to be
ready to rubber
let her
stamp
rip,
whatever they want to do. Yeah.
And I can't imagine, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I can't imagine the AGA is going to sway, well, I don't see anybody swaying, a certain
Well, I think I
person.
well,
But I don't know.
the Winklevies, as they were
Yeah.
called in the
Is it?
movie,
Yeah.
that's just what they said. That's what the now I'm the one drawing a blank. What's the name of the Facebook guy? Zuckerberg. That's what the Zuckerberg
Zuckerberg.
character like called them in the movie, the Winklevi.
I don't know.
They have money at least to
Right, to move a needle.
I think that they're more likely to impact this than the AGA. I think we can agree on that.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Money definitely is going to be the deciding factor here. But yeah, it is curious to know. To wonder what is going on. Like, what, because just again, because most of the people involved in this would seem to want him there. They have the votes to put him there
If they can get everyone in that
if
they
they get in
need
the
to,
same room. Right.
right? That was like another. I guess it was
A couple weeks ago.
Tuberville that like this time was somewhere else, and they weren't sure if he was that. That was suspected that maybe he couldn't make it there in time, and that clearly, it seems that they can't afford to lose a single vote in order to get him through. But
All I know is that, as I've said numerous ways, different times, I liked my life better before I knew what the CFTC was.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also I want to say I feel bad for Dustin that the closing line was labeled, quote, a little known publication
Yeah,
in the
well,
in
not
the
so little known
two,
anymore. I mean,
well, right, yeah.
it's big, well known in our industry,
Well,
obviously.
well known in ours, little known elsewhere, but
Of
I assume
course.
he got a lot of good traffic this week.
I
So,
bet he did.
yeah.
Good for him.
All right. We're however many minutes into the show we are, and I haven't said the words huff and puff yet. I think it's time to do something about that. Let's bring on our guest. Full disclosure, when I first heard of watching other people play slots on YouTube, I thought it was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard of. Also, full disclosure, I now routinely click on videos of people playing slots on YouTube and get completely sucked in and can't stop watching, especially when the YouTuber has the right engaging personality, and especially if that personality belongs to our guest today, Brian Christopher. He is a BetMGM ambassador. His BC Slots YouTube channel has over 700,000 subscribers. He has more than 2 million total social media followers, and it's our pleasure to welcome him to Low Rollers. Brian, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
So, I don't want to spend too much time on your origin story because I know you've told it a fair few times, but playing off my introduction there and the note that I was very skeptical initially about the idea of a slots influencer, I'm just curious how optimistic or how skeptical you were at first. Did you believe initially that streaming slots would take off, or were you kind of surprised by the success you've had with it?
Completely surprised. I mean, I only posted videos just to be funny, almost. It was just for fun. Didn't expect it to go anywhere at all. It was never a career choice before I
Right.
made it one. So yeah, completely shocked.
And I understand you have your own Brian Christopher branded slot that's coming to BetMGM Casino. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's something we've been working on for a few months. We've had a few different initial ideas surrounding it. Now we're just starting to get into the thick of it. So we finally decided on which one to go with, which theme. how it'll be structured. And now I'm leaving with them to start with the designing process. Essentially, the way it works, like, I have two physical slot machines on the casino floor also. And the process is, I pitch my idea, they pitch me their ideas, we come up with what we like, and then, I'll tell them what I want the symbols to look like, any ideas I have for special features, like things I want to have happen on the reels, and then they go away and do it all, and then they come back to me, start showing me bits and pieces. I let them know like what I like about it, what I don't, what, but they're geniuses. They know what they're doing. And on the math side of things, I leave that all up to them. That they, they know exactly what they got to do for that. That doesn't involve me at all. I like, essentially, I'll tell them like, I want this magical thing to happen, and the mathematician will tell me absolutely not. That's impossible. It's like, I just want everyone to win. Is that a problem? Like, I don't know.
I like the sound of a slot where everybody wins,
I
but
know.
yeah,
I
the
know.
BetMGM may not quite love that that setup.
True. True.
Just a little bit on the origin. When at what point did like the light bulb go off and you're like, holy crap, this is like beyond any expectation that I had going into this?
It was pretty quick. I posted some videos. They took off so quickly, but I wasn't planning to put any more videos out. So a month later, I posted some more videos, and they exploded also. So it was around that time where I was like, okay, maybe I should consider doing this, like making it a thing, which is like so weird. Especially because like I had been an actor since I was 11 years old. I moved to LA to further my career, and not like 2 months into it, this thing happens. And I'm like, do I really put this career on hold that I've been waiting my whole life to like pursue further, or see where this goes? And I'm like, I've been acting for so long. I'm having a healthy career, but it hasn't taken off by any means. This is taking off. Let's take, put a few steps forward and see where it goes. If it goes nowhere, no problem. But maybe we're onto something here. And luckily I went on fully into it for sure.
So has this fed the acting career at all? Like, has your recognizability with this gotten you any more opportunities on the acting side?
It's funny because it has, because what happened was, I was in Toronto, and there's tons of different casting directors. One in particular did all the biggest stuff, and I could never get in her room, never got an audition with her once. And 1 year into my YouTube channel of slots, she showed up to my group poll event as a participant. She was a fan of mine now. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I was in complete shock. And so then she sent me a few auditions that I could do, but I'm like, I was very appreciative and I wanted to do them, but I'm like, I'm too busy now. I don't have time for this, So, one of those shows I auditioned for was A Handmaid's Tale, right? Which is like a huge, huge show. So unfortunately I had to put that aside because I'm too busy, unfortunately. I mean, is it a bad thing? No. But what I'm doing is still, it's still entertainment, right?
Yeah.
That's what I loved about acting, was entertaining an audience, and now I get to do that a lot more.
Yeah, I was wondering what do you chalk up like the brand loyalty to? And I guess it's a little bit of a two-part question here because I think it might have to do with the second part here. How
Yeah.
much of what we're seeing online is Brian Christopher, and how much are we seeing online is Brian Christopher, the actor?
Yeah, there's no acting. That's the best part. Is like I can just be myself.
And
Yeah.
that's it. So it's you. It's th that it's just
It's
you.
me, and I love it because like when I meet fans, and like whether I'm on a cruise with them or they come to an event, they're like, "Wow, you're the same person in real life." I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I don't need to act." Like when I'm losing my butt in a casino, that is real losing, okay? Like you can't hide that. You can't put on a persona for that.
And what do you chalk up the loyalty to? Like people love you. Like I mean, you're beloved out there. So like
I think
what is
it's
it?
it comes down to the authenticity. It's being an authentic player. That's it. They've come to appreciate me as a person, my personality. Like they know everything about me. I don't hide anything from them. And so I think that's what it is. And they know that when I'm gambling, it's my own money that I'm playing with, right? They know that if I win or if I lose, it is affecting me. It's not a front. Casinos are not giving me money to go gamble with. And I'm just like them. I lose a lot more than I win. So I think that's very important and something I've done since day one, and promised to keep up.
Right. How much of a, I'm sure you've talked about this in the past, but how much of a gambler were you before this all started?
I've always had the gambling bug. I just
Right.
didn't have the gambling money before.
Right.
So yeah, when I as soon as I turned 19, I was able to go to the casino in Canada. So I would start to go then. But I'd probably go. I was asked this question recently, and I said, "Oh, I'd go like once or twice a year." And my husband hit me. He's like, "Oh hell no, you went a lot more than that." So maybe I went maybe 4 or 5 times a year at the beginning. Well, now it's every week because it's my job now,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
Well, so you talked about how, like everyone else, you lose more than you win, and we get to see your real reaction to it. That said, you're a little different than the average player in that your losses are being balanced out by the money you're making by promoting and being on YouTube and all the advertising and all that. Does that cut into the amount of tilt you might go on, knowing that you have a little bit of a backstop there?
Yes and no, because sure I'm getting paid by casinos or whoever to promote something, but that's my job, right? So like it's the same as me saying to you, oh, you get 100 grand a year from your office job. Are they offsetting your gambling? You know what I mean? Like
They are
it's
not.
just like end of the day, that I get paid a fee, just like anyone else gets paid a fee for their job. And when I'm paid to promote things, they don't tell me you have to bet $20 or $100 a spin or whatever. I could do 30 cents a spin if I wanted to. Like it's all up to me. So I can choose where to go with it. So over the years I've definitely increased my bets. It started as $5 to $10 range, and now it's more like $25 to $100 range. But I still go back to those smaller bets because I still like them. And that's really important for me is that I still get excited by them. It's not like I'm bored now. I need to bet higher to get the same excitement level. I mean, like literally last week I was doing $1.25 spins with my friend and we had a great time. I love it still.
Yeah, I mean, I've found that when I play slots, I mean, obviously it's nice to win money, but sometimes I'm just like in pursuit of the fun of getting to the bonus round. That's like as much of a motivator as anything. So complete this sentence for me. The most fun bonus round of any slots game out there right now is.
Oh man. So that I literally play every slot. There's like thousands of slot machines. Let me think. Okay, so last week I was in Vegas. I played a lot in Vegas. I played a lot I played the Huff and Puff. Sorry, it's the Huff and Even More Puff Grand,
Yep.
which is like Huff and Puff is hard. Huff and Even More Puff is harder. Huff and Even More Puff Grand is the hardest one because now there's like three bonus wheels to progress into. And to get to that is exciting as heck. And I got to it last week for a massive win. So that one's like an exciting one. Same with Monopoly. I found myself sitting down at Monopoly Express a lot last week. And it's you get a lot of bonuses, but they're not that great. But then you get one bonus that is huge, right? That's what you're trying to go for. So I think I prefer that kind of style more because it keeps your attention going a little longer instead of it being like 500 spins until you get a bonus. So that I think it's my style I like.
Well, you hit on my favorite game of the moment, as Jeff knows. I've been a Huff and Puff obsessive lately.
Have you tried the grand one?
I have not played Grand. I've played Huff and Even More Puff, so I know about the second wheel, but I didn't know about this third wheel.
The third wheel, yeah, it's a vertical reel that goes all the way up to the very top. And so, there's like the houses you build. You build a straw house, then a brick house, then sorry, a straw house, a stick house, then the brick house. But now there's palaces on top as well. And let's just say I hit, what did I have? Over a dozen palaces, I think, in that bonus. And my bet was $125. So that actually helped a little bit.
Yes.
I may have to finish this interview solo as Eric might just run off to Parks in Bensalem across, to get
Yes.
his fix in. You've been with your husband Marco for how long?
Goodness. 22 years, I
It's
believe it
like,
is now.
okay,
Yeah.
so how has the relationship, how does he feel about like this, your leap into notoriety here?
He loves it. He's all for it. And he's always been so supportive. So originally when I told him about this idea, like I'm gonna pursue this, he was like, that's fine, but like start a new bank account. That's what it was, like let's you can only use the money that you make from it to gamble with, right? And so we were very clear that it had to be run completely separately from the beginning. So that helped. It helped keep me on track because I think a lot of new channels that get into it today, they see these big bidders and think they have to start there as well. And I'm like, that's dangerous for sure. So he's always been supportive on that side. He's always been supportive of my acting career in general. He just, I mean, he joined our company about 3 years ago too. So he really likes it now.
Right. Is yeah, what you said about like the betting big, I'm guessing that like it's like for someone who wanted to try this on their own, it's not about the size of the bet. It's gotta be about like the size of the personality, right?
I think it's 100% personality. Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, there are other channels out there that do much bigger bets than I do. That $500, $1,000 bets, I can't watch that. I don't find it. I mean, it's, the bet sizes alone, it's exciting to a degree, but if there's no personality there, then it's lost, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's how I got my start. Really, not to say there was no personality, but at the very beginning, not a lot of channels were actually using their voices. They were just showing. And most of them didn't show their faces. Most of them didn't tell you their name. And so I came out and I'm like, I'm Brian Christopher, right?
Right.
I showed my face. I talked nonstop as I am today. It was all about, getting to know my audience and them getting to know me back. So I think that really is important. And now I'd say 95% of the channels now do that as well.
Do you have a particular preference between playing online and playing live in the casino? Is it that crowd gathering around you, I assume, creates a level of buzz and excitement for you that you can't quite get online, or pros and cons to
No,
each?
I like them both 100% equally. There's the exact same games on the casino floor are online now, right? And in fact, the payback percentage, the RTP on an online game is typically better than in a casino, and a lot better, right? So you could be getting maybe 89, 92, 92% on a game on the casino floor. Online, you can get 96, 97% payback. So like, I get excited both ways. To me, it's all the exact same. Later this week, I'm actually going to be at MGM Grand Detroit, and they have a brand new AGS game with Corn Squealius the pig, and it's the same game that they're launching at the exact same time on the casino floor as on BetMGM, and they're the only ones that have them both at the beginning too. So it's like extra special. So it's, if you can't get to the casino as well. Really nice that you can play it from home. And like I literally like we touched down and I'm already like checking out what's new on the app and when you go to bed or if you're not feeling up to seeing people, it's just nice to just jump on and just go I also like how it's I feel like it can be a lot more of a responsible gambler playing online because you can set your own limits, right? You can say, okay, I'm only gonna allow myself to upload $100 a month or $100 a week or whatever it is. I'm only allowing myself to lose X amount of dollars and then it cuts out, right? So I love that because when you're in a land-based casino, there's no one stopping you from going to the ATM or anything else. So there's definitely a good way because some people get scared by the whole idea of gambling online, but I'm like, it's a lot safer, I think, and it pays better. And you can do it while sitting on the toilet. So there you go.
Now, I mean, it's so it, we've been covering this industry for years now. That's the first time I've heard that take that where online is more, is a better for RG than
I
in person.
know.
That it's you're right. I mean, that's a great point. Great
I
point.
100%, yeah, and it's you're right though. It's the opposite of what people think. Oh no, I don't want to get carried away online. And I'm like, it's the best place for you then because you
Right.
can't. Like you
Right.
literally can set parameters. And on top of that, like every now and then they'll email me and say, "Hey Brian, we've noticed you've been playing a lot lately. We need to verify that your income is, at a certain level or whatever," which is so responsible as well. I think it's really smart of them to be able to do that because they don't want anyone to get carried away. And that's, on our channel, we always use the term entertainment budget, gamble with an entertainment budget, have fun with it. Never play to make money because then you're always going to lose. You only use the money that you can afford to lose. So go to a sports game, go to a concert, or gamble.
Well, I know one is not supposed to assume because we all know what happens when you assume, but can I assume that you have never streamed while playing on the toilet?
That is correct.
Okay.
However, one of my biggest wins on BetMGM was while on the toilet, which I haven't told anyone. I was playing video poker at $100 a hand, and I won 80 grand. And I was screen recording it, so I did share that video, but I didn't give anyone the context of where I was seated.
You definitely, you
Right.
could splurge for the Charmin Ultra at that point.
Yes. So, and just since you mentioned the video poker, I was just curious, besides slots, do you play like every game in the casino? Are you into blackjack? Are you into poker, craps, etc.? Or do you, is it pretty much your passion is for slots and you haven't dabbled too much in the other stuff?
Yeah, typically I just stick to slots. We host a lot of cruises a year. We do about 8 to 10 cruises a year, and on the cruises, I find myself sitting at the tables a little bit more often. I'll sit at the blackjack or the Texas Hold'em tables a lot more, because I like being able to play with our fans or our friends. Whereas in a land-based casino, I don't enjoy playing with random strangers, especially on games like blackjack, where they can, affect the cards I get, or whether I win or lose. I can't handle that as much. Whereas if I'm with friends, you can yell at your friends or razz them and be like, "Why would you hold that?" Or like, "Don't do this." Or, you know what I mean? You can teach each other as well. But yeah, typically on our channel, you mainly see slots, but I do sprinkle in a little bit here and there.
All right,
Perfect.
and one more assumption. You mentioned you have a green screen background, so you're not podcasting with us from the toilet right now, are you?
No, I am actually in my office space in Palm Springs with a green screen. Yeah,
All right,
but
excellent.
if you ever come to my house and my bathroom is painted green, then you know.
That's great. Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, Brian. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. And is there anything else that you and BetMGM have in the works that that we should know about before we let you go?
Just that we're launching a bunch of new games right now. I know, like this week, there's the AGS ones, there's Family Feud, there's more iterations of the Wizard of Oz. So look forward for those games a lot. And what's really cool on BetMGM is there's a page that have all my favorite choices. It's like Brian's choices, where you can go and see what games I like the most right now. Typically, they're games that I've done well on or just really enjoy a lot. But yeah, the best place to find out about us would be like bcslots.com. And for BetMGM, bcslots.com/BetMGM.
I saw the Family Feud game on BetMGM, and I dabbled there for a minute. So here's a request for you, and I think it's a great idea. Have them do it, like when they do the second, third version of Family Feud. Let's go back. Let's get Richard Dawson as the host, and one of the bonus rounds is how many kisses you could get from
Oh
Richard
my
Dawson.
God. Yeah, right.
All right. Well, you're connected, Brian. So I think you can make this happen for sure.
I'll see what I can do. Yeah.
Thanks again for coming on the podcast. Great talking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Our thanks again to Brian. I really enjoyed that. Very likable guy. Jeff, remember a few weeks ago you were saying your wish, or one of your wishes anyway, for the next generation is that they all start playing poker?
Yeah, that wouldn't be one of my three wishes given the opportunity. But yeah,
How
no,
many wishes deep do we need to go?
if I was able to get like if I was able to gain like the more wishes as one of the wishes, then it would definitely be
Oh,
one. But
okay,
yeah,
sure.
no, this would be 500, top 500 wishes.
Okay, all right.
Top
So,
1,000, top 1,000, top 1,000. Go
all
ahead,
right.
continue.
So it is one of your
I do
wishes.
remember. I do remember.
You do
Yes,
recall,
yes,
and it is one of your
yes.
wishes. We've established that much for now. We had our summer camp visiting day last week, and apparently end of the night poker games are a big thing with my son and his bunk. So that's good. They're playing, they're having fun. Apparently they usually have a $5 buy-in, not terribly dangerous. But he also said, "Dad, when I get home, I need you to teach me how to play poker." Apparently his results have not been great. And of course, as he does whenever he loses in fantasy football, also he lamented how unbelievably unlucky he is, which may or may not be the case. I asked him a little about their starting chips and blind structure just to get a sense of how they play, and it is a fairly fast, short stacked structure, so luck is going to play a huge role in a game like that, but also I suspect he really doesn't understand basic hold'em strategy, maybe doesn't understand starting hand values really, doesn't have a sense of what stack size you should be in fold or all in mode with, and so forth. So I'm looking forward to teaching him after camp. if you want in on those lessons, Jeff, or maybe you and your son can come over. We'll get a father-son poker game going. Just let me know.
Let me ask you this. Is it the poker game short stack, the camp, is it, would you say it's a predominantly Jewish camp? Is
It
that
is
it?
almost entirely Jewish, yes.
So would you say these games might be even classified as a schwitz and go?
That is simultaneously your best and worst low rollers joke yet.
Eric, you
I don't
can't
know how
blame me.
you're going to top that with whatever you have for the end of the
Well,
show here.
I was going to say, it's not my fault that it's single-handedly the best and worst, because we are in the dog days of summer, which I just found out 20 minutes ago is not named that because dogs are panting in the August heat. It's named after Sirius, the dog star, which the Romans thought, teamed up with the sun to roast us like rotisserie chicken this time of year. They weren't that far off, honestly, because not only is it hot out there, it's also dry sports-wise. We're in preseason NFL mode right now, Eric. I've been spending a good chunk of my morning researching the Hall of Fame game. We got Canadian Football League action. There's no hoops. There's no hockey. Baseball teams now, it's August, they're starting to do wacky things. There I'm going to be alone tonight, just me and my deep thoughts on a Mariners money line at 1 a.m. Or maybe you've got it worse. Maybe here it comes. Maybe you've gone and convinced yourself that you got an edge in Czechoslovakian table tennis. You're watching on a live stream that looks like it's being broadcast out of a microwave or something. I'm guessing the sports books kind of love this time of year because they just sit back while I'm betting my mortgage on when some catcher named Moose just struck out trying to bunt on two pitches somehow. I don't know. It's very difficult to suss out baseball this time of year is what I'm trying to say. Not that it's easy any time of the year, but this, it gets crazy. All these call-ups, you can't do anything. Listen, I think sometimes I'm chasing good value, but the truth is I'm not. I'm chasing moose, and it's not working out. So, yeah, Sirius might be the brightest star in the sky, but during these dog days of summer, the only thing lighting up my sports book right now, despair. I'm a month out of NFL. We're all a month out of NFL, so we just need to settle ourselves. Regroup, retrench, get ready to lose our money the right way with regular sports in September. That's it. Until next week, we are low rollers, small stakes, hot takes. See you later.